Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, even before the invasion of Ukraine started last month, Vladimir Putin was known for his increasingly authoritarian leadership style. Our next guest says he's a modern-day example of a strong man style of world leaders going back to Benito Mussolini. And Putin isn't alone. There are other world leaders following that path, and even leaders and other public figures in the Western world, including the United States, who see Putin as a role model. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry that the United States could go down the path of some kind of strongman dictatorship? Why do you think some Americans find Vladimir Putin to be an appealing world leader? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ruth Ben-Ghiat is a professor of history and Italian studies at New York University, author of the book Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. You can follow her work at her Substack newsletter called Lucid. Ruth, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Before we bring things back to the United States, I want to focus for a minute on Vladimir Putin. You wrote about him a lot in Strong Men. I just wanted to get your thoughts on his latest actions, the Ukraine invasion, and the threat of a bigger crackdown and so-called purification within Russia.
Yeah, so from where I sit studying autocrats, I feel like this terrible aggression on Ukraine came about because Vladimir Putin maybe had intimations of his power waning, that he was at his peak. And when autocrats get into that stage, they get these kind of fantasies of grandeur, and Putin's very into the idea of reviving a version of the Soviet Empire and feeling safe with a kind of buffer zone, like he has Belarus and puppet states, and that was typical in the Soviet days. So he's following this kind of this fantasy, an imperial fantasy, and that's, he thinks, is what's going to guarantee him power, continued power. But as we see, it's backfiring badly.
Now, in your book, you saw an affinity between strong men leaders in different countries and supporters elsewhere in the world. I want to give a listen here in the U.S. This is a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, in October 2017.
Russia is our friend.
Russia is our friend.
Russia is our friend.
Russia is our friend.
Can you talk, Ruth, about the appeal of Vladimir Putin to far-right movements elsewhere in the world?
Yeah, I'm glad you showed you played that clip, because Putin not only is the political and financial patron of far-right movements around the world, he himself is really on this kind of crusade to, and now he talked about purifying Russia. But so it's not just that he wants to bring down American democracy or other democracies. He really wants to destroy the whole democratic world order and a certain model of civilization that comes with it, and replace it with this kind of repressive, you know, with penalizing and persecuting gays and anti-liberal, anti-pluralism. And so it's a really kind of a global design that he has. And He's really sponsored so many, far-right and anti-democratic movements, all the secessionist movements, including those in California and Texas, all kinds of far-right movements. Anybody who wants to take down a democracy around the world and establish racist, intolerant ideologies and forms of government are people he's interested in.
In the run-up to the invasion, I want to listen to a couple pieces of audio that were in the news just the week of the invasion, actually. First, listen to Tucker Carlson from Fox News. This is 2 days before the invasion.
What is this really about? Why do I hate Putin so much? Has Putin ever called me a racist? Has he threatened to get me fired for disagreeing with him? Has he shipped every middle-class job in my town to Russia? Did he manufacture a worldwide pandemic that wrecked my business and kept me indoors for 2 years? Is he teaching my children to embrace racial discrimination? Is he making fentanyl? Is he trying to snuff out Christianity? Does he eat dogs? These are fair questions, and the answer to all of them is no. Vladimir Putin didn't do any of that.
Then the next day, Steve Bannon on his podcast, the day now before the invasion, talking to Eric Prince, founder of the mercenary company Blackwater, speculating on the reasons people were opposed to Putin.
Putin ain't woke. He is anti-woke.
The Russians, people still know which bathroom to use.
They know how many genders are there in Russia?
Two.
Okay. That's all of a sudden. That's not. They don't have the flags. They don't have the pride flags outside on their.
They don't have boys swimming in girls' college swim meets.
How backward!
It's embarrassing.
How savage! How medieval! How medieval! This is why this whole thing's a scam. It's a total and complete scam.
So on the eve of this actual war, Ruth, a focus on, I think, culture war issues and the idea that in some ways Vladimir Putin they see as an ally in a culture war.
Yeah, they do. That's terrifying clips. And in the case of Carlson, who is an extremely dangerous man, who's a very skilled propagandist, takes a page from the Russian information warfare playbook, he's basically saying you have no reason not to like Putin. Not only you have no reason not to hate him, you have no reason not to be on his side. And Tucker Carlson has emerged as this kind of internal lever for, you know, any kind of anti-democratic, pro-autocrat sentiment. I mean, he goes and he broadcasts for a whole week from Viktor Orban's Hungary. And it's very dangerous. As for the second one, I mean, what to say? This, you know, they're very clear about what they want, which is to, it's not just that people have, there are only two genders. It means there's huge amounts of repression for anyone who does not, you know, is not straight. And Vladimir Putin has passed innumerable laws, as have other autocrats. I mean, anti-trans, anti-gay laws, anti-gay propaganda, as it's called, that are being imitated now in some American states. And, you know, what they joke about this, knowing which bathroom to use, but this is what they're erasing, is the real repression that people face in Russia. If you don't toe the Putin line, you're sent to jail or you're beaten.
We're talking to Ruth Ben-Ghiat, author of the book Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present, looking at Vladimir Putin and his appeal and the appeal of strongman authoritarian leadership styles, even in Western democracies in some cases. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Ruth, in a country, whether Western Europe or the United States, with a long tradition of representative government, what do you see as the appeal of a leader like a Putin or other of the strongmen you write about? Why would somebody look at what we have here and say, you know what, I'd rather have that?
Well, sometimes people are led to believe that the alternative to democracy is better, and that's the destructiveness of information warfare, of disinformation, manufacturing crises, inflating crime accounts. But what the research says is that these kinds of leaders appeal when a society's had a lot of change. It could be gender equity, could be racial emancipation, workers' rights. And some people are overjoyed at this progress, and others see it as threatening to their way of life. And that's when somebody like we were very primed after 8 years of Obama, who was not only the first African-American president, he legalized same-sex marriage, gender integration in the military, women in combat, all these things that are progress. But many people felt were threatening, especially white males, were threatening their way of life. And so when you have a leader like and Putin did this and Trump, who comes up and says, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to restore your rights, I'm going to bring, you know, order out of chaos. And in the case of Russia in the 90s, it was true chaos and just terrible social disintegration after the fall of communism. But even here, where, you know, the Trump appealed to people who wanted to have some kind of making the nation great again, some kind of nostalgic fantasy of something better in the past. And that's what Putin's doing, too. It's the Russian Empire. It's the Soviet Empire. And these things are very powerful when the right person who's very skilled at communicating, very skilled at propaganda, delivers these messages. We see it time and again that people fall for it.
Ruth Ben-Ghiat is with us, author of the book Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. We're looking at Vladimir Putin, his authoritarian government, and his admirers in the West, including some in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest about her research on so-called strongman leaders and authoritarian regimes? Do you worry that it could happen here, something like a Putin-style authoritarian regime in the United States, or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Ruth Ben-Ghiat, author of the book Strong Men, Mussolini to the Present. We're looking at the support that Vladimir Putin has found in some cases in Western democracies, including the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you see? What do you think people see in Vladimir Putin, even those who live in representative democracies like the United States? Do you worry that something like his regime could happen in a place like the United States? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ruth, I think there's often a sense that something like that wouldn't happen in the United States. Russia has very, very limited tradition of representative government. I think I'm not overstating that. We've got a couple hundred year track record with some rocky moments for sure, but we're still here. Is it a worry for you that we could end up with something like that in a place like the U.S.?
What you said is true, that it's not going to look the same, and we would not have a Putin style autocracy here because we have very, very different traditions. It's more likely, and this is being set up at the state level through Republican legislation with voter suppression, we could evolve into something that's called an electoral autocracy, which is what you have in Hungary and other places, where you come to power through elections, but then you fix the electoral system, and we see that that's the focus of the GOP now, this assault on the election system, so that the results are weighted to what the Republicans in this case need them to be. So it's not, we don't have anybody. Putin came from the KGB, and as you said, there was this very long repressive tradition through communism, and a lot of what we see now, people are talking about this reemergence of a Soviet culture of repression. So we don't have that here. We have our own traditions of repression, of racialized policing and other things. So every country has its own repressive traditions, and we have the wild card here of our gun situation. No other country in peacetime has 400 million guns in circulation. Russia would never have to tolerate, militias and sovereign sheriffs and all these subversive individuals who now are represented by some GOP lawmakers who think it's perfectly fine. Like Matt Gaetz says, the Second Amendment isn't about hunting. It's about your right to overthrow a tyrannical government. And we had January 6th. So we have certain things that are very, very worrying. And so it's going to look different every place and every time. But what matters is you have a personality like we had Donald Trump who makes no, he does not hide his admiration for autocrats, and he makes it very clear that he wants that kind of power, even though it's not going to look like Russia.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Sarah is with us in Libertyville, Illinois. Sarah, hello.
Hi there. This is a little strange comment, but I just so strongly, I spend a lot of time on a social media site called Quora, and there's I moderate a space about international relations, and of course, ever since this happened, it's like the trolling is just unreal, and I have to read all these things, and I really have noticed a trend in Putin supporters of pretty serious misogyny, and they don't always reveal it, but then if I look at their
Sarah,
comments,
I got you. Your line's breaking up a little, but I think we get the gist. Russian-backed trolling and misogyny on that social media site. Ruth.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Sarah, because, of course, Putin is the leader since Mussolini who engages the most in stripping his shirt off, showing his muscles, and this kind of hyper-masculinity. But everywhere, authoritarianism includes, measures to restrict reproductive rights, women's rights, but also police sexuality in general, like, you know, all of the persecution of LGBTQ individuals. All of that is part of this hyper-masculinity. And it's very important in terms of the threat. And a strongman, that's where he gets his name from, right, is a kind of a threatening individual who is above all other men and has a degree of control and glamour around his ability to have that control. So it's a very toxic notion of power.
Sarah, thanks for that call. We'll go to David now in the town of Raymond. David, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I've noticed quite a few pictures of Putin with both the Russian Federation and Romanov flag behind him. And that I hadn't noticed that before. That was really kind of startling and frightening. That's kind of observation one. And my main worry is that people like Trump use democracy against itself to destroy it.
David, thanks for the call. First of all, Putin, he says, reaching back to the Russian imperial pre-Soviet past, Ruth.
Yeah, and many Russian analysts have talked about him wanting to kind of have a vision of imperial and imperious power that is like more like Catherine the Great, right? And so strongmen always channel nostalgia for something that was greater and grander. And you have Erdogan in Turkey talks about the Ottoman Empire, Mussolini talked about the Roman Empire, and so you have Putin both channeling imperial Russia and then also the Soviet, kind of the power of the Soviet sphere.
And he also mentioned the concern that someone might use the tools of democracy to destroy democracy.
Well, yeah, and you could see what I mentioned before about developing electoral autocracy as exactly that, where, see, today you don't shut down elections. I mean, you have in North Korea and China, you have that. But today it's harder to do that, and you don't even need to do it. So you keep the veneer of democracy going. You keep, like in Hungary, you keep some opposition parties, but you game the system. So what Putin has done, since we're talking about him, anybody who's really a threat or really a rival, like Alexei Navalny, he's in jail. He is not allowed to, not only is not allowed to run for office, he can't even be free in circulation anymore. And that's how they keep elections and the idea of democracy, but they actually, you know, neutralize it completely. And that's what all of the electoral manipulation on the state level right now and Trump's big lie, all of that is designed to do.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Ron in La Crosse. Ron, hello.
Yeah, I heard all these comments like this so-called pundit Tucker Carlson, some of these other people on Fox, and it seems that they will echo whatever the line or whatever attitude that Donald Trump had towards Putin. You know, it's unbelievable that some people would come out and defend Vladimir Putin after what he's done. And it isn't just invading Ukraine. Most Ukrainians think they're European, so it's an invasion of Europe. And yet you got these people on Fox and some of these other crackpots trying to, I don't know what's going on in their head, but all I say is whatever Trump thinks, they'll echo it.
Ron, thanks for the call. Your thought, Ruth, on the role of those media figures Ron is talking about.
Yeah, Ron, it's a great comment because we're talking about the Trump cult also. And it's really incredible. So there's a lot in the news about how Russians are just blindly following Putin, even though there's a lot of opposition, right? Thousands have been arrested. But think about what Trump was able to do in a democracy with a totally pluralistic, open media environment, and he still got tens of million people to believe that he won the election and that he's still somehow the president. And a lot of that is what you say, like Fox News is so dangerous. But they are just echoing what Trump is saying, but they also Tucker Carlson has his own agenda, and that's why he's going to Hungary to broadcast for a week, and who knows if he has political ambitions. But the common thread is taking down American democracy. And I find it incredibly sad as a first-generation American, I find the whole idea that there are these people who are just out to destroy democracy, and they're taking advantage of the freedoms to broadcast this poison, and it's just really sad.
Thanks for that call. And just our last minute and a half, Ruth, your thoughts on ways to navigate away from the road to a strongman government?
Yeah, so you have to have a unified opposition. We need to construct a pro-democracy movement. And it's hard here because we're a really, really big country. And the other thing that's challenging is that other places have coalition governments, so all the other parties can band together against the autocrat. We have only two parties, and one of them has become authoritarian. But I also believe we really have to hang on to the fact that we voted out Trump. We did it. Biden got more votes than anybody in history. So we have to find that energy and that momentum to turn out to the ballot box and do the same for the midterms.
Ruth, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Sure, it's a pleasure.
I've been talking to Ruth Ben-Ghiat, professor of history and Italian studies at New York University, author of the book Strongmen, Mussolini to the Present. She joined us for a look at Vladimir Putin and the support he gets in the U.S. and other Western nations.